The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Expert advice to keep the whole family healthy at All Care, the largest Irish-owned pharmacy brand.
Now, we've a lot to get through in the next 50 minutes. Today, RTE kicks off a week-long focus on climate change to coincide with Science Week. Tomorrow on RTE 1, a three-part series will begin. It's called What Planet Are You On? And it's presented by Maya Dunphy, and she's on Planet Earth and in Studio 10.
Hello, Ray.
Good
How are you?
Good afternoon, Maya. The show follows three families and looks at their daily lives in the areas of water waste, energy and food in their homes. Their habits are then evaluated by experts, and we have three of them on the show today. We have Brian Kelleher, who's a lecturer in environmental chemistry in DCU, and you're the bin man. You're the expert on waste, Brian.
Yes.
Good afternoon, and thanks for coming into the studio. We have Fiona Regan, Professor of Chemistry and Director of the DCU Water Institute. And guess what Fiona's an expert on? You've guessed it right. Water.
Hi, Ray.
I was going to say congratulations, Fiona, for being an expert on water. You're very welcome to the studio. Thanks for coming in. And down in our Limerick studio, we have JJ Leahy. And JJ is Professor in the Department of Chemical Sciences at the University of Limerick. And his area of expertise is energy. Good afternoon, JJ.
Good afternoon, Ray. Nice to be here.
Yeah, thanks for coming into our Limerick studio. Now, Maya Dunphy, you spotted straight away that Cadbury milk chocolate has...
It's full of palm oil. Yeah. That's my problem with not the sugar. I used to buy the big bars and just eat 30% less. That's how I took the sugar out. But it's full of palm oil, so that's the issue I have, which is obviously very damaging to the habitat of the orangutan, who was very close to my heart.
Now,
I'm also the least qualified person in this room. I'm not a professor, but...
No, but you're the presenter, so you have an overview.
Yes. Well, I'm the layperson, like our three families. And what I love about this show, Ray, is that it's, I think sometimes, and, you know, Fiona and Brian might not agree with me and JJ, the climate change discussion can feel so huge and so enormous and like, what can we possibly do? And this show, I think, brings it right down to a more micro level and makes it really accessible for people. And, you know, our three families, we have the McKevitts, the Cullens and the Gannons, they really embraced this challenge across the four categories, water, waste, energy and then food and diet. So I think if people watching can take even one thing from what one of the families have learnt, you know, if we all make these small changes, they can amount to a big difference.
And I think they'll be looking at the programme as I was today and saying, oh, we do that. And then when Brian or Fiona or JJ gives them a hard time over that, then you feel a bit guilty at home, you might change your behaviour.
Yeah. They laid themselves bare, because I wouldn't want the nation seeing the mistakes I make behind closed doors. Would you guys? Because we all do it.
That's the phrase. The phrase, which is hugely important there, is behind closed doors.
Yes.
Because all our activity around water and waste and eating is behind closed doors.
I wouldn't let Brian look through my bins, put it that way.
Well, Brian, seeing as Maya brought you in, Brian, to the conversation, so you will be forever known now after this week as the bin man.
Yeah.
So what you did is you went through the McKevitts, the Gannons and the Cullens bins, and you told them what was right and what was wrong. What are the main mistakes that people make?
The main mistake, I'd say, is putting organic or kitchen waste into the black bin.
Right.
And then maybe mixing up your recyclables. So you're turning it from a possible win-win situation into a lose-lose situation. If you put the organic into the wrong bin, that will end up in the atmosphere probably as carbon and as a greenhouse gas. However, if we treat it properly, we can use it then as a very valuable addition to soil or a biofuel or something like that. So we're not just losing something by putting it into the wrong waste cycle. We're actually polluting and we're...
And don't take Brian's professional calm demeanour. I mean, he's an amazing man, but he was the toughest man to impress, wasn't he, Fiona?
He really was tough.
He really said. And he would come up with his tongs in his lap and go through recycling, the general bin, the food waste bin, and he left no piece of recycling unturned.
Do you think that people don't know enough about what happens after they put the stuff in the bin?
Yeah,
like, if they understood what the process was, then they might...
Yeah.
They do a better job of it.
The great thing, in the last year or two, you can see the awareness has increased so much. Without any doubt, something has clicked out there. So people are now more interested. And that's the first thing. You have to have an interest and you have to have a will. So that's getting there, although we still have a lot of challenges. So it takes an effort for us all to do our waste properly at home. But then it is complicated by rules and regulations that are fairly haphazard. There's no standardisation. The rules are quite different as you go around the country. Even the bin colours are different. So that doesn't help the ordinary person. It gets complicated. And there are several layers of dysfunction, you can nearly call it, or challenges with the whole waste industry in Ireland. We're just not dealing with it. Individually, we have to make an effort, but also as a country, we have to have policies there, and we have to have guidance for those of us that are working in these areas where we're trying to add value to waste. Because remember, we shouldn't think of it as waste. It's not waste. This is valuable material that we're wasting.
You haven't seen my bins.
Did you? You actually learned something from the program.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Was it about soft plastics?
Oh, well, you see, I'd be as... I like convenience as much as anybody, and I'm always being given out to at home for my... I haven't put the right things into the bins either. So I was learning myself. I mean, my background would be in the organic matter and trying to add value there, but absolutely learned. But the families were great too. I mean, if they're an example of what we can do in Ireland, we're in a good place.
Yeah, poor Jason McKevitt was burning everything in the front room fireplace.
Yeah, so I mean, he was tipping his bin into the fireplace and burning it.
Yeah.
And I joked to Brian saying, well, maybe he's just cutting out the middleman, because we filmed our studio setting, in inverted commas, it was in the incinerator in Ringsend, the Dublin Waste Energy Plant in Ringsend, which was quite stark. It was a revelation being there.
Just before I leave this, is it true that soft plastic shouldn't be put in the recycling bin?
It is, funny enough, and it's counterintuitive, because we should be able to recycle.
We've been doing that wrong.
Yeah. Wrongly,
I should say.
Yeah, you see, this is one of the things that's confusing. We can recycle soft plastics. The problem is that they interfere with the recycling processes that are now, that we now use.
Take that away. That's an interesting one. JJ's down in our Limerick studio. JJ, on electricity... a lot of the families were using what you would think is far too much electricity.
Well, I would say, compared to our European counterparts, Irish families typically use about 30% more than the German or the Dutch, which is surprising when you consider that electricity in the Netherlands costs probably 60% per unit of electricity that we pay. So the Dutch pay less, but they also use less.
Are their houses more energy efficient? Is that it?
I think if your house is more energy efficient, it generally means you use less heating rather than electricity.
Right. Okay.
I think some of it is just convenience. Like I would say the most guilty party that I could see in these families, and it also reflected my own house, and that is that we probably wash clothes too frequently in Ireland. We want to freshen them up. And what allows us to do that is not the washing machine, it's the tumbler dryer, because it's so convenient to dry them. Whereas when I was a young lad growing up, you know, your clothes were dirty before you washed them, because they had to be hung out in the line before you could dry them.
And JJ, the tumbler dryer uses an awful lot of electricity.
Compared to other household appliances, yes.
And you suggest in the programme that people use their washing machines and tumbler dryers when there's less electricity being used around the country.
Exactly.
Is it cheaper then?
It should be cheaper. So, in fact, it is. So if you have an electric vehicle and you will be encouraged to go on the nighttime rate, which is significantly cheaper than the daytime rate. And if that is the case, then you should also use as many other appliances and benefit from that cheaper rate. A colleague of mine who was a very early advocate of electric vehicles, he told me recently that his electricity bill has not increased by a single cent since he bought his electric vehicle and switched to nighttime electricity.
So he charges it at home as opposed to one of those charging stations around the country, which they're going to charge for from this month.
But he also switched his other appliances. So his washing machine, his tumbler dryer, his dishwasher are used at night.
And one of my colleagues pointed out, because he works in an apartment complex, that if everybody in an apartment complex put on their tumble dryers and washing machines at night, that it'd be hell for everybody. Just the other thing is, because we're getting to Fiona here, but before we get to her, showers. There's one young lady in the programme who had a shower that lasted 23 minutes.
I think that was absolutely phenomenal. And I suppose people don't realise the cost. Electric showers, they tend to be 9 kilowatts. So if you think of your electric kettle, it's probably 1.5 kilowatts. So your shower is using three times the amount of electricity that your kettle is using, and yet she left it on for 23 minutes.
How long should a shower be, do you think?
Probably 4.5 to 5 minutes.
Right, 4.5.
Poor Nicole Cullen. We really need an electric dryer. Lots of people are doing it, I'm sure. This is the point that we're all going to learn from this show.
Yes, Fiona, so of course, as well as electricity, a shower uses water.
That's for sure.
How did the three families do on water?
Well, you know, they did extremely well. They started out pretty bad. And this
don't
was
give us, don't, spoiler alert, don't give us away the ending.
Well, you know.
So what mistakes were they making at the outset?
You heard about the shower time. That was real. We had a over 20 minute shower. That's not unusual. You know, any families with teenagers out there will really relate to this. But the improvement that happened over the course of the 3 weeks was incredible. Mm. Things like shower times came down to 5 minutes. Things like, you know, the flush in the toilet, which can use up a lot of water, the numbers of flushes, all these.
So what's your advice around flushing? We all have to go.
And you have to flush.
It all gets a bit scatological.
No. I won't lie. But you see, it is the minutiae of it, isn't it?
My husband would kill me if I said, don't flush. You know,
on what? On a number one. Don't flush on a number one. Only flush on a number
toilet,
two.
Flush the toilet, guys. It's okay. I'm not saying don't flush here.
Right.
But
there's small things, Phil, that you tell me about. You know, the half flush button
right,
that most modern loos have.
Yes.
Most people just squash down the whole thing. You use twice the water using the
so do
the
a half flush.
Yeah.
And would you be advising, no, I'm serious about this, would you be advising not to flush on the number one and flush on the number two?
No, I wouldn't. I personally wouldn't be advising that. I mean,
okay.
There's health and safety.
The other thing
issues
is that people
here.
Do. The other thing that
Unless
people do.
Unless you've done a poo, don't flush the loo. Let's
there you go, and it rhymes. The other thing is that people leave the tap running when they're brushing
their
teeth.
They do.
That
people,
goes through
people
me.
People
yeah.
leave
that
the tap running
me.
When they're rinsing off. And you say don't rinse off to put into the dishwasher.
Well, you know, you can wipe off.
Wipe off, don't
absolutely.
Rinse off.
Absolutely, yeah. Why waste water? You can wipe off and put
and
it into your little brown bin.
Oh, no, we're not. Okay.
So here's the thing, and I've said it over and over again, that people feel that they're such a small little cog in the whole planetary climate change thing, that why bother? You know,
this is why we would encourage everyone to watch this show, because like I said, everyone, and we put it into quite interesting comparisons in the show of what the equivalent of this might be in flights and long driving. Mm. And so I think if people watch the show, they will see how really small changes on a much bigger level, if we all make them, can make a huge difference. And it's not sanctimonious. There's no finger wagging here. It's look, we all do this.
Yeah. Brian, back to you just on the brown bin, because you said to one of the families, it's mad that you're not using the brown bin.
Yeah. They thought that they were saving money by not using the brown bin. And that's, again, because the rules have been confusing and rules have changed down through the years. So they were paying, putting all their organic material into their black bin or their residual waste bin, and thinking that they were saving money, and they weren't.
They weren't.
No.
And what about compost heaps, or what did they call them?
Compost heaps or compost containers.
Units, yeah.
That's something. It's like, you know, the compo culture. It shouldn't be compost, it should be compost culture now.
But because one of the families...
We all need to be
But one of the families said that
trying.
They used to have a compost heap, but it attracted rodents. I think it was the Gannons from Galway.
That's their fear, and that would be a lot of people's fear, and that's a genuine fear. Now, there are ways around that. If you leave organic material out over 2 years, it's going to compost very slowly. It'll take a few years, but there's ways of hurrying it up.
Okay.
But it can attract rodents if you don't do it properly. So it's not straightforward.
No,
it's not
straightforward.
No,
is
but
it?
The brown bin should, if everybody has a brown bin, then they put all the material in there and somebody takes it away. And then
you get a cat.
The encouraging thing I think I took away from this is that a lot of this change has been driven by young people. That the teenagers and the young adults in the TV programme are encouraging their parents to change. And that's
absolutely. We could see that in all cases. It was the teenagers, as you said, the adolescents and the younger people who are driving their parents to change. And I would say that probably reflects what happened with the Green Flag program in school.
Yes.
When children started to pick up rubbish, when children started to recycle, they brought it home as well.
Of course, Greta Thunberg as well.
Exactly.
Maya, tell us when it's on. Tomorrow night starts
it's
tomorrow
on
night.
Tomorrow night, RT1, 7 o'clock. And for three consecutive, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday this week.
What
7
planet
o'clock,
are you on?
RT1. What planet are you on? You will learn a lot, Ray. Please tune in.
JJ and Limerick, thank you very much. Thanks
My
very
pleasure.
Much, Brian. Thanks, Fiona. And Maya Dunphy,
thank you.
That's it from us. Mary Wilson is on the way. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Monday.